last part of today's session. And we'll have three scientific reports. The first one, as you see already on the screen, is State of Art and the Future Prospects of Neutron Activation Analysis at the IBR2 reactor of Dubna. And the talk will be given by Barina Frontasieva.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Before coffee break, you heard bright presentation from fundamental research, as well as the creation of a supercomputer here. Now we switch to applied research. In our institute, which is fundamental institute, applied research, we always say second-order research. But nowadays, situation is drastically changing. I would say that applied research playing more and more role. I dream all the time. Now I give a talk at the Program Advisory Committee for Nuclear Physics, but we dream about the Program Advisory Committee for Life Sciences. So I'm between these topics. So first of all, I would like to draw your attention to the second row. This is my support team, which came from my department just to listen what I supposed to say to the audience of international experts here.
It's impressive team, indeed. It's impressive team. Congratulations for the team.
Yeah. With all respect to your audience of well-known physicists, I still would like to refresh your mind and to give you definition of neutron activation analysis. It's isotope-specific technique which is used for qualitative and quantitative determination of elements. And the need of precise determination of elements is well understood, especially in the time of nanotechnologies and other aspects. So this definition is taken from the encyclopedia. You see that reference. It's mostly for my youngsters. And the total of my presentation will briefly cover history, projects, statistics, and awards. That is introduction part. For those who are not aware, I would say that neutron activation analysis was established by academician Frank in the early 60s of the last century. It was bright mind who thought that neutron activation could be very important for the future, and it worked very well. The next to him is my former co-supervisor, Dr. Nazarov, who passed away a long time ago, but his matter is lives. Fundamental physicists don't like this definition of that citation very much, but I would like to say physics today has two main goals: care about the man's health and the environment. These words belong to the famous researcher of Moscow State University, Dean of the Faculty of Physics. And I show these words because they really reflect the present-day situation in the environmental studies, in medicine, in what we call life sciences. All of you know this picture very much. I show it just with the only purpose. You see how many countries, practically with all of them, I have grants and programs supported by plenipotentiaries of the Joint Institute for Nuclear Research. Even those associate members, maybe besides Italy, I repeat my word to the Italian representative, I dream that Italy will join us. Because I have, all in all, I have, that picture shows the number of grants which I have. I don't think that any other department in our institute has 18 grants of plenipotentiaries. You see that gap in the middle. It was a period when our reactor was not operating. It was under reconstruction. But still, we have 9 grants of plenipotentiaries. And we carried our research in Delft University, in Safari 1. I emphasize this just to show that we keep good relations with famous research centers. It also reflects our reputation, scientific reputation. Now, who is the next who finances our research? So plenipotentiaries, then Atomic Energy Agency. Of course, it's a political organization. They keep an eye what is going at the director of the world. But look for the topics: study of temporal trends of pollution in selected coastal areas and application. That is research projects. This is small money, like $15,000 per year. But regional technical cooperation is $150. It's quite big money, which allows us to renovate our equipment and most of all to train youngsters in best centers which are available. The title of our project just below, for the lack of time I won't read it, but you caught the idea. It deals with environment research connected with the coastal situation all over the world, because we are one of the, say, 20 countries participating in that regional atomic energy technical cooperation project. The other source of financing and interest is European Union. We participate like subcontractors of two European projects due to the presence here representative from Czech Republic who are just in our department work. It's Air Border, Black Triangle. European participants know what is it. Black Triangle, Poland, Czech Republic. That is common Czech-Polish measurements of airborne transboundary pollution. The next project is connected with MOSES. Later, you will hear about it a little bit more when I speak about the United Nations program, which is coordinated nowadays from the Joint Institute for Nuclear Research. I mentioned the name of Professor Petr Jančík, who is here, and he's from Ostrava University, and thus the group of Czech researchers strengthen, and we work in European Union projects. That is just a picture kickoff meeting in September in Ostrava. You may recognize me sitting next to Petr Jančík. And that is the situation of Black Triangle. You see different colors show the contamination. No time to speak more, but it's a very interesting project. The picture which you see here, it's just the object which could collect air filters just from air. It's non-manned, say, ruled facility which allows to collect air in space. That's a very good device which allows us to keep the project on the good international level. The next also financing national project of Kazakhstan with Russian Federation on air pollution studies again in selected areas of Kazakhstan. Then Russian Fund for Basic Research. Here we deal not with environmental research but collaboration on new materials at its Institute of Physical Chemistry and Electrochemistry of Russian Academy of Science, a biotechnology of water treatment. It's also very acute topic, and we work very hard, and many countries are interested in this kind of research. The next source of financing, Belarusian Fund for Basic Research and Joint Institute. We have special branch of this kind of research. Here we also deal with material science. In the times of Soviet Union, Minsk Institute of Solid State Physics was one of the leading institutes in that direction. And we are glad to collaborate with them. What do? We don't produce anything which is described here. We trace the technological process which they do in synthesizing the diamonds and nitron boride, which are most hard materials which exist in the world. The next slide reflects our publications. I'm very proud to say that we are among, say, the best in the research gate. We have 614 publications up to date. Look for the Hirsch index. Hirsch index is very high. It relates to my name, but my name is associated with my department. So our department has such high Hirsch index. Then the citation also just 42,000. I will not die from modesty. I would say that papers of our department are most cited in the Joint Institute for Nuclear Research. From time to time, I receive from ResearchGate such information, pleased to say. Staff of my department, 34, 35 persons. Just it varies. Sometimes somebody comes, somebody leaves. Look for the international collaboration. Azerbaijan, Belarus, Bulgaria, Czech Republic. 6 persons from Czech Republic is great. Egypt, 1 or sometimes 2. Georgia, Moldova, Mongolia, Romania, Tajikistan, Vietnam, and the rest are Russian Federation. Among these team, nowadays we have 5 PhD associates. Leading engineer is one. My co-supervisor, as I say, Sergei Pavlov, responsible for all analytical stuff. Senior engineers, 3 technicians, 4. It's very rare that we have enough technicians who help us to work. And PhD students also, tremendous number, 9 PhD students. In 2017, last year, we got an award. You can understand that in the frame of our institute, it's rather difficult for applied research to be distinguished somehow and to get an award. That is the second prize of the Joint Institute for Neutron Activation Analysis for ecological state assessment of coastal ecosystems of the Black Sea. We carry out this research in collaboration with Moscow State University. This famous internationally recognized scientist, Alexander Kamnev, helps us a lot because we provide reliable analytics, but we need experimental material which comes to us from aside from our associated collaborators. So together we work in that area of the Black Sea, and you maybe now understand why atomic energy, it was easy to get atomic energy financing because we had that good project with Moscow State University. Such the way how we work. We do something in advance and then announce it for the whole world. So this is the seaside, probably you may not know these things. This is the seaside where the oil pipeline goes to the Black Sea. So it's a very important area of investigation. And the experimental material which we get from Moscow State University, it's just professionally done, so we believe that results which we obtain is really deserve international appreciation. Then, in the field of water treatment, which I also mentioned of great importance, we received two gold medals from the European Union. Inga Zinkowska is not here. That is her portrait here. She is the leader of our chemical laboratory, and these are youngsters who come for training to our department. So two diploma by European Union, it's also great recognition, I would say, of our research in that field. We work, of course, again, biotechnology, we do nothing. We just get samples to help people to do good research. These are, say, Georgian Institute. Unfortunately, you see two names are in frames. These people just passed away not long time ago. And the Institute of Chemistry in Moldova. So biochemistry and biophysics is done there, and we get results, again, to trace technological project. That is very important for them. Few words to be said about upgrade of installation regatta. That information for those who present here, who maybe never heard about our research. I see many new names and new persons present in your committee. Please keep in mind that we possess installation which may be one of the best in the world. I say it just earnestly because I visited so many reactor centers, but what was created here was created the stage of the design of our reactor. So this installation allows us to carry out research that is here. Here you see the whole spectrum. No time to speak more, though it's very interesting to show that we can work in the area of resonance neutrons, which allows us to determine rare earth elements, which are very accurate to determine nowadays because their role was not known well. But now, even the activity of brain depends on certain things of this kind. Low level, low temperature radiation, please remember this. At any conventional reactor, temperature 300, 400 degrees, what can we do with biology? Our conditions for irradiation, for work, allows us to work with biological materials. This is a great peculiarity of neutron activation analysis at our reactor. This is the set of elements marked in yellow, determined beta, determined by atomic absorption spectrometry, and we have that facility, brand new, American, very expensive, and it works in just in, say, combination neutron activation analysis, and all in all, we determine up to 55 elements of neutron activation analysis. Few words about the program, which allows us to really improve conditions for work, automation of reactor neutron activation analysis. This was carried out in the framework, as you see, in the frame of atomic energy program, but we achieved probably the best results. Nowadays, we installed three sample changer. Here you see the DRAM. DRAM where samples after radiation installed. One of them is 145 samples. Multiply that by three, and you know we are able to carry out mass analysis, which is very important for environmental studies. One, two measurements are not enough. Only just mass analysis allows to get good results from environmental studies. No time again to speak about the work of this device, but now the plan to install the fourth one that will enhance our ability to continue our research at a full scale. We must say that our experience allows us to improve it, what we did just during last years. Installation was installed in 2014, now 4 years passed, and we continue to improve it due to our experience obtained during the just experimental work. We just upgrade the software package for neutron activation analysis. The whole scheme is quite complicated, as you understand. Level programmers work with us, and we're really happy that we created this system which allows us to work in such efficient way. That is just pictures to demonstrate. Usually I say to the visitors, our place is most cozy at the reactor. It's very clean, it's very nice looking, and we work there with pleasure because radioactive work is just dangerous work, we would say. That is the main room where we see some devices from installation. We had inspection from Atomic Energy Agency. You see the picture, Sergei Pavlov and our visitor from Atomic Energy Agency. And that person will come to us next week, and I'm completely sure he will be very interested what is going on with our development. His name is Danas Ridikas. He is a good friend of us. Now I'll speak about some recent achievements in air pollution studies. It's one of the main trends of our research. And I shall also show you some impressive results in biology, in brackets say medicine, if by so. So this is life science, which comprises such different fields of research. I have no time to speak more about all of them, though in each of them we have really outstanding achievements, but I shall touch only, say, air pollution. Air pollution we study under the roof, say, of the United Nations, above only God, as I joke. Convention on long-range transboundary air pollution. And here we collaborate with many countries. That convention, you see so many countries in the Northern Hemisphere signed it, but who contributed? Only a few countries, just 40 countries only. Priority of laptop convention are nowadays Caucasus and East. West of Europe is studied very well. Everything is known, say so. But East is still a question. And Secretariat of United Nations suggested to the UK to give the coordination of that program to Joint Institute for Nuclear Research. Why so? Because Joint Institute have direct access to Eastern European countries. And nowadays, we just, these are, say, the atlases which are published under the auspices of the United Nations International Cooperative Program on Effects of Air Pollution on natural vegetation and crops. So that is just a picture showing that in 2016, in the same hall, we had a meeting of such group of scientists from 40 countries. Many of you don't know what is moss. Moss is a specific plant which has no roots. Mosses don't accumulate anything from soil, and they just, their nutrition, everything comes with wet and dry deposition. That's why it's very easy, for example, to take these three last growths and annual growths, to analyze them, and then to say about atmospheric deposition of dry and wet atmospheric deposition. So that system was developed in Scandinavia a long time ago. It spread all over Europe, and we expect to spread it in Asia also, and we did so. Very briefly, because for the lack of time, you see lead, the results which we obtained goes to United Nations, from United Nations to European Parliament, and the improvement of the situation. For example, leaded gasoline 20 years ago was forbidden in Europe. And see, you see how situation improved. This is 1990 and 2005. You see 70% decrease of lead emissions to atmosphere. In Russia, by the way, leaded gasoline was forbidden only in April 2017. Terrible, but this is the reality. Well, that is a participation of the MOS survey. All information from this country comes to Joint Institute for Nuclear Research, say in my department, in our hands, and we prepare countries. First of all, I would like to mention, I expected that Professor Ososkov will come here. He is a great person from LIT, Laboratory Information Technologies, and I asked Tatiana to tell that I quote him, that together with LIT, we created data management system of the United Nations program. It is highly appreciated in the United Nations because this program is established on the cloud of the Joint Institute, and I do hope it will exist even if something happens, say, with the different kind of activities of this program. So it was created on the cloud platform together with, under the, say, command of Gennady Ososkov and Alexander Ruzhinsky. They did a lot. That system allows to collect information, every country insert their data in that program. Then all together, we just look for such maps. This is a, say, number of samples collected. This is our final result. We convert analytical information in distribution maps of element pollutants. These are brand new results which were obtained in 2017 and just finished last this year. Iron, chromium, and you see the decision of the United Nations was very correct because look, red, red spots, that mean higher concentration, appears in the areas moving to the east. because the West is still green. Look for Norway, Sweden, and other countries. So in our institute, I'm very glad that Directorate of the Joint Institute support our activity, and we had Project Regatta, which is active until 2020. And you see marked in red, these are newcomers. During these 4 years, from 2014, when coordination came to the Joint Institute, these 6 countries joined this program. It's a great achievement. It is well highly appreciated by the United Nations Secretariat. These are just show how we work. We have no money for this. By the way, Kazakhstan financed our project, small project, but small money, but not bad. So you see these small areas marked here. We collected samples in these areas, and every area is a diploma study of Kazakhstan students which come to Joint Institute, to my department. So we both work for science, for results in which community is interested, and of course we train youngsters for the member states as well. In Armenia, we carried out research. Academician Oganesyan helped us to get in touch with very interesting institute. Without him, I wouldn't have found the way there. Center for Ecological Noosphere Studies in the National Academies or Academy of Armenia. We carried a small country. We carried out research there. Caucasus, all Azerbaijan, Armenia, Georgia. They just contributed to this program. Results obtained and just now will be published in Atlas. These pictures I just mixed. These are my youngsters. This guy now is defending his master carried out in my research. And that picture shows that just in 2 weeks, in the same hall, the whole literature on biomonitoring, air pollution will gather in this hall. You are very welcome who are able to be here at that time, 2nd, 7th July. You are welcome to come just to listen to the presentation of prominent scientists. So, extraterrestrial materials. You saw the importance of using neutron activation analysis in these fields where other methods doesn't work. And in that respect, extraterrestrial material is a very good object for investigation. What other analytical techniques could determine iridium, for example? And most of you are aware that iridium, it was an explosion of some star which affected the life of dinosaurs. It's an even paleontological field of research. That's why I'm in good contact with academician Rozanov, former director of the Institute of Paleontology. And finally, I show you the results, amazing. Practically nobody in the world are doing these things. Cosmic dust. Cosmic dust exists. It is well proven that the large amount of cosmic dust, I will not cite the numbers of these tons of cosmic dust which comes on Earth, they bring very specific set of elements. And cosmic dust, we study as they are trapped by the moss which is growing in the areas which we consider not under anthropogenic impact, Siberia, Western Siberia, and polar area, for example, Arctic areas. Here, for example, we collected samples in Norway in the polar circle, and the results are here, which demonstrate the elemental content of these particles, which are achieved by using electron scanning microscopy adjacent to very good X-ray facility. So results say for themselves. These results will be reported very soon in Moscow, atmospheric deposition of cosmic dust studied by MOS analysis at the United States, by the way, organized this meeting, 81 annual meeting of the Meteoritical Society in Moscow. Well, another very important research, and I'm very grateful here to one person who once said to me, I like to help you because I see the results. It was Professor Aksyonov, former director of the Laboratory of Neutron Physics. He introduced me to one guy, his name is Demin, in Kurchatov Center. And these people are doing fantastic work together with the people from biology. So this is cognitive abilities in mice before and after chronic oral administration of silver nanoparticles. You see, the brain is completely protected from penetration of any contaminants, but nanoparticles were not created by God. They just come to brain without any, say, problems. And what happens, say, to men who are exposed to some nanoparticle production? Of course, this experiment was done with the long purpose, just to study how nanoparticles affect brain activity. Mice were just experimental facility. We work with top-level professionals from the Institute of National Research of Kurchatov Center, and on the other hand is Regional Research and Clinical Institute In Moscow, we collaborate three institutions, Kurchatov, this institute and Joint Institute for Nuclear Research. Look, the essence of this, these are the mices. Probably some of you heard about similar, say, experiments, but after irradiation with mice. Mice is here, mice is looking for the purpose where to climb out from water, and the mice achieved that, she's on some spot. What happens after nanoparticles introduced to brain? You see, what's the trajectory of these mice? The brain doesn't work properly. This is fantastic results which were obtained together with this top-level specialist with very good interpretation. They are submitted to, it's not Nature exactly, but it's one of the Nature journals. And it's very good outcome of our research, I would say. Now, a few words about educational program. I'm close to an end. Educational aspect of our research is very important here. Now you may see the pictures of some of my youngsters who came to school organized for South Africa these days. So that the youngsters also work at the reactor, and my associate Konstantin Vergil shows how we put samples for the detector here to measure induced activity after a long period of cooling, say. This is slide is in Russian. This just enlist the youngsters who carry out their PhD in our department. For example, in 2018, three master diploma were defended: Georgia, Armenia, and Kazakhstan. The rest are from different countries. You may be here: Mongolia, Belarus, Russian Federation. And the pride of my is the defended PhD carried out in Joint Institute for Nuclear Research, Macedonia. Two PhDs also connected with environmental research were defended in 2015. In 2016, my youngster, whom we name Russian name Zina, now she's called Zina in South Africa. Her name is very long, Zikhona Ndlo, you can read it here. We gave her Russian name Zina. Now we expect some other youngsters to come to our department to work and to prepare their master and PhDs. And the latest, this year, 2018, girl from Albania. Albania is not a member state. You see, I addressed in some time ago to Professor Matveev and asked him to allow to accept a girl from Albania. I thought that she has a great potential. She worked very hard with us. We carried out very nice research in Albania, also Balkan country. And that girl defended her master thesis, a PhD, you see the book, and that photo was taken in Budva at the International School with Joint Institute held in Montenegro just the end of April. So many of my youngsters again came here from Greece, from Romania, from Albania, for example. That slide I took from presentation of my youngsters. You see, it's not my slide, but I like the word dream team. You see, it's the world of my youngsters. So thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much for this very nice presentation, full of information and full of enthusiasm. Are there any questions? Adam?
Hi, it was indeed very interesting. I have a question because you showed some, you flashed the results from the cosmic dust analysis, and I noticed that there are no heavier elements there than iron. Is this or this is below some limit of observation?
What is cosmic dust? It's micrometeorites. Meteorites are classified in two big groups. One, iron-containing, carbonaceous, and iron-containing. These are just reflect the origin of this, say, cosmic dust, which comes from... Cosmic dust, by the way, it is also distinguished by, say, the solar system and long-distance traveling glass. We work with top-level professionals, and so I believe in their, say, erudition. We just follow their advice and recommendation in this kind of study. We work with Professor Richard Guver from former NASA scientist. He visited us quite often. And these meteorites, for example, I got for analysis from him. And also Academician Rosenov, head of the department in the laboratory of radiation biology. So top-level team allows us to work. Moreover, I would say that the role of the supervisor to find reliable counterparts. We provide reliable analytics, but to interpret data, to publish them in the journals, indexed at the Web of Science, means to build a good collaboration. So my main role, to find reliable counterparts. That is the principle. And the other principle, why so many youngsters come here? Because everything which we analyze at the reactor works hard. It's radioactive samples. Hundreds of samples should be analyzed to get some results. So everything what is done should be published. We publish everything which we analyze. And we're very selective in choosing tasks for research just to see the possible, probable outcome of this research. And you see, examples are here, my kids.
I have also a question on the interpretation of the results which you obtain. On one of the slides you have shown that there's a very high concentration of iron in Iceland. I think it's definitely volcanoes, not the pollution.
Volcanoes, it's well-established fact. Volcanoes, of course, Iceland is known, and remember that with long name volcano, which stopped the life in Europe a couple of years ago.
Okay, so the interpretation of the data should be taken with a lot of precaution. Yeah,
yes,
there are many
of course.
Natural effects, of course. Thank you. Yes, please.
I have a question about the purpose of sciences you formulated in the first slide about health and environment. There are many publications which state that small doses of radiation are very useful for health, and then large doses are dangerous. With your huge database, can you prove or disprove directly?
This
without speculations.
This question better to address to Professor Krasavin. I'm not so familiar with all these things. I know that small doses are sometimes considered useful, but I'm not a specialist in this field. I may say only about, say, inorganic contaminants. About this I know more.
I hope that small doses are... doses are useful. We are constantly exposed to the doses even now, so and we can survive. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you again for the nice presentation.
Thank you.
So the next presentation will be on the topic on the investigation of subsurface layers of solids with the help of the charged particle beams accelerated the EG5 electrostatic generator. And the talk will be by Alexander Kopsev.
My report about different analytical methods for investigated surface layer, but we used charged particle beams from accelerator, and I would like to explain what is our accelerator. Our accelerator is Van de Graaff principle, and it's work next way. You can see voltage from source, place it at belt. Insulator belt was moving this velocity near the 20 meters per second. This transform this belt transform charged from source to metal dome and it can change increase voltage for dome up to some million volt. In our accelerator voltage at the accelerator reach 3 a lot of more than 3 million volts. This is accelerated tube. This is ion source. Ion source produced charged particle, and then charged particle accelerated in accelerated tube. Such you can see our accelerator, but you can cannot see detail because it high voltage construction. This is high voltage electrode, and in this accelerated tube divided to 130 part or maybe 130 section. Now you can see accelerated tube, but in work station accelerated tube contained in tank, and in tank there are pressure of of nitrogen about 10 atmosphere. This gas insulator created enough electrical characteristic. You can see that region of energy for our accelerator from 0.9 up to 3.5 MeV. Beam intensity is near the 30 microamp for hydrogen ion and about 10 microamp for helium ion. Energy spread less than 500 electron volts. It is very important characteristic for our method. Later you I will explain. Precision energy about 2 keV, and we have 6 beam lines in 2 experimental hall. For analysis of surface layer in solid, we used 4 analytical method: Rutherford backscattering spectrometry, elastic recoil detection method, and nuclear reaction analysis and particle-induced X-ray emission. Principle of Rutherford backscattering method next. If particle mass M1 scattered in electric field of nuclear mass M2, the angle its energy at angle theta, its energy is k conservation of energy and momentum. One can obtain next equation for kinematic factor. This kinematic factor shows the what energy has particle after scattering and at atoms mass M2. And this moment explain possibility of measured different elements at the spectrum RBS. This dependence kinematic factor from target's mass. You can see that kinematic factor increase for light elements and low increase for heavy element. This method named as Rutherford backscattering spectrometry because main position is cross section for calculation spectrum ion heliums, for example, scattered at surface of solid. Usually used formula, Rutherford formula, and for this we name it Rutherford backscattering spectrometry. Very important moment that Rutherford formula for show that cross section depended on energy as E square. It means the for high energy cross section decreases, and so for RBS methods, enough energy no heavier than 3 MeV. You can see that particle with mass and zaryad bombarded the surface of sample, and after scattering we have energy this value. But in depth, if accelerated ions pass through sample, and if we have scattered at the depth x, we have this value for energy registered by detector, because we have energy losses in this path of particle before scattering and this path after this before. Such way we can calculate thickness thickness of different layer because we have measured widths of channel channel widths of channel of experimental state, and we can calculate number of particle what we registered in one channel if Q particle bombarded target this cross section dependent on energy and the angle, this solid angle and this for calculation of energy losses in depth. This you can see example of spectrum what we can measure using RBS method. We used this energy helium ion and spectrum measured under theta angle 170 degree concerning to direction of beam, bombarding beam. And you can see this spectrum helium ion scattered at layer niobium, consisting from niobium atoms. This peak is helium ion scattered in at titanium atoms, but this layer consists from titanium and oxygen, and we can low intensity of helium ion scattered at the oxygen atoms. And you can see silicon substrate at this sample consisting from two layer placed at silicon substrate. And you can see characteristic this oxide titanium layer has thickness this value in nanometers. Niobium layer this thickness, but this transformation was example, but really we measured thickness layer in atoms per centimeter square. You can see this value, and it is very precision value, but transform in nanometer has a little precision because density of layer, so thin layer, different from solid material, and we use density for calculation. So this mistake may be more. And this you can see spectrum what allowed to see possibility of RBS method. You can see that we can measure element low mass for carbon and up to high mass up to plumbum, and you can see spectrum back scattering helium ion as a very thin sample. But we can determine any peak what elements in this sample. And you can see that sensitivity of measurement less than 1% for heavy element, but for light element, not so high sensitivity. In this, I show you the multilayer structure, and you can see spectrum helium ion scattered at multilayer structure consisting from five germanium layers with thickness about near 30 nanometers, divided silicon layer with thickness near 50 nanometers. And you see that we can measure layers with this low thickness. But helium ion cannot scatter it at the hydrogen atoms. But in sample, we have hydrogen and deuterium in surface layer, and in it interesting for different using. So, in order to determine depth distribution of light element, we used ERD method, elastic recoil detection method. Really, we have chamber containing the RBS and the ERD together. We have a beam of helium ion target, helium ion scattered at the high angle for measured backscattering spectrum, and under low angle we measured protons or deuterons recoiled from target. But from Rutherford formula, you remember that in low angle we have high intensity helium ion scattered at heavy elements. So in order to carry out this experiment, we used aluminum foil, thickness aluminum foil such value in order helium ion loss full energy, but protons, for example, loss minimum energy in this layer. So we can measure energy spectrum of protons in this detector. You can see spectrum RBS for sample what has in surface layer at silicon sample a little oxygen and also more light elements, very thin layer. We can see ERD spectrum for two elements, hydrogen and deuterium. So we can measure contents of light elements in surface layer of sample. Next method of investigated sample is PIXE, particle induced X-ray emission. But in our method, we used PIXE for special question. I show you that kinematic factor for heavy element not so change from mass of heavy ion, heavy atoms in sample, and sometimes we cannot determine exactly what elements. Such way we can use PIXE spectrum in order to determine what in intensity of X-ray we know used for calculation, but you can see different line for different elements in this sample, and this same sample we can see RBS spectrum from what contained in sample, and we can exactly determine what heavy element in this sample. This you can see table what show 20 element contained in sample, and you can see concentration of different element more slow mass and heavy element concentration we can determine with high precision up to atoms per centimeter square. We used this method in different region, but I don't explain you nuclear analytical method. this method used only for solve special problem. We used in order to determine depth distribution of oxygen in surface layer. We can increase sensitivity using resonance in cross section of helium ion scattered at oxygen atom. This cross section has peak near the exactly 30.45 MeV. There is peak in cross section and intensity cross section in 16 times higher than Rutherford cross section. So we can measure containing of oxygen with high precision. But different different samples what we used for our method. Microelectronic device, this from Slovakia, high temperature superconductor, Rostov University, Tomsk University, St. Petersburg Institute implanted sample. We measured depth distribution element, implanted element, but sample prepared in Lublin, Poland. Multilayer structure for neutron mirrors, polarizer from Gatchina ref. Amorphous silicon germanium multilayer structure you can see before. Aerosol from air we measured from sample what was bring from Mongolia, Ulaanbaatar University, the carbon layer pump through air from carbon layer, and we measured concentration different element in surface layer. And migration of hydrogen in titanium, Tomsk University, but also other sample. We have cooperation with different institute. This time we have three foreign scientists from Poland, Slovakia, and Vietnam, and possibility of creation microbeam at our accelerator are investigated with help Sumy State University, Ukraine. About 80 papers was published in different journals with the captors, scientists from different institutes of many countries. So I finished. Thank you for attention.
Thank you for the presentation. Are there any questions? I don't see. Thank you again. And the last presentation of today will be on the appearance of quasi-fission in reactions of heavy ion collisions. Oh, we are changing the theme. I see that we are changing the theme. And the presentation will be given by Avaz Beknasirov.
Mm-hmm. Good afternoon, dear ladies and gentlemen. My talk will be devoted about some analysis and discussion reaction mechanism which takes place in heavy ion collisions. My team is some people already in business trip, and I should say recently to our team has come Dr. P.V. Wen from Institute of Atomic Energy from Beijing, and as well as we have intense cooperation with our colleagues from India, with three institutes and a lot of PhD students who interested this kind of analysis. So this I try to present more simple way. This problem is interesting because we have already obtained new super heavy elements, and Dubna and Fedorov laboratory of nuclear reactions, very successful laboratory. And but there are some questions or an misunderstanding of reaction mechanism, which takes place in, during formation of super heavy elements. And then we know that cross-section is very low, therefore these groups spins long time, and then but to find optimal combination beam and target, and as well as beam energy, we should make some analysis. And sorry, something moved. So usually, fusion of two nuclei in contact in collision is not so easy as we think, because synthesis means to obtain from compound nucleus some evaporation residues. Much part of this compound nucleus goes to fission products. It is a very small value. This should be here, 10 minus 6. And then, therefore, to estimate cross-section or formation of compound nucleus, we should study behavior or characteristics of fission products. This hindrance to fusion was not so large in experiments which were performed in Dubna fluorophore laboratory, but in reaction of cold fusion, we have very huge hindrance. And so, you know that some years ago, in Dubna and GSI, they tried to reach super heavy element 120, but they have not get positive results in these reactions, because in these reactions, very at first, unstable compound nucleus. At second, there is hindrance to formation of compound nucleus. Main reason is related with during formation of compound nucleus. Main mechanism which is in competition at formation of compound nucleus is quasi-fission process. Quasi-fission process is the process when after formation of compound nucleus Tango system, after capture, we could not reach compound nucleus and formed The nervous system breaks down without reaching compound nucleus stage. Here, simply we can demonstrate this is deterministic collisions. Here, no capture. There is not full momentum transfer. It is possible to measure very easily, and they have very large cross-section. Second process is this coefficient, when we have contact, but this time is not enough. This last stage is formation of compound nucleus after capture. So in this stage, we have compound nucleus, but it is not yet evaporation residues. It is not yet precursor element. I just showed that this compound nucleus should survive against fission. But I will not discuss this survival part. Here, it is present. You can see that all events, which, for example, to reach evaporation residues, this is starting point. We have collision, and then just it was demonstrated that we have a nervous system. This system can break down. This is coefficient. But if this system has enough time and energy to be transformed into mononucleus, but this mononucleus is also unstable because it has large angular momentum and extension energy, therefore this system can go to fast fission without reaching compact shape. If this system comes to compact shape from this this compound nucleus can go to fission mainly, and very small part goes as a superhero elements. Therefore, it is difficult to obtain superhero elements. And to analysis fission productors, usually this is one of examples setup. In Dubna, they use corset setup. Two fragments, fission fragments, are registered by two detectors in coincidence, and they can change angular place of detectors, and they can measure angular distribution and mass distribution. From this, they can estimate fission cross-section, also called probability of formation of compound nucleus. But this also not so easy, because from the measured data, we should separate events, fission like events which really comes from quasi fission, not fission from compact nucleus. This is big problem, I think. In the experiment, we discussed it, and people know this problem, but it is not always. As a function of interchannel, this problem can be very huge, sometimes not so important. And so, this mass and angular distribution of two processes can be overlapped in some reactions. And then, but they have different origination. They can have similar masses, even similar angular distribution, but they originate from compound nucleus or from nervous system. There is problem how separate. In theory, it is more or less possible, but in the experiment, sometimes even impossible. But by the way, to study the behavior of this process, it is interesting to study these kind of events and discuss, and to help for instructors to understand or to interpret their results. Why we have some contact from India and China people. They are making experiment, and they asking us to make some estimation. So in reaction with light nuclei, this system can go very easily to compact fusion. Here, in very small hindrance, even no hindrance to formation of compact nucleus. For a heavy system, we have this kind of potential. This is potential energy as a function of mass asymmetry. So we can see in heavy system, we have this kind of barrier to overcome, which system should overcome to reach the compact shape. Therefore, this problem is very actual for reactions which are used to synthesis of superheavy elements for more heavy than 118. And so, because this process never come to this compound nucleus because the system already breaks down. Of course, you cannot collect back them. And so it is well known the fusion probability extracted from experiment or from our calculations as a function of charge of compound nucleus decreases strongly by increasing of charge number. For light system, it is smaller than 0.1, and if you go, these three reactions, these two reactions are used to obtain 120. You see a very small fusion probability. Plus, we have a very heavy system which can be unstable to survive. This is one of results obtained in India in Intermersity Actuator Center. They study reaction titanium 48 on lead 208, and then here presented their results. This is the total kinetic energy of two fragments. This is their masses. Usually, MEAD systematic, and then you can see that a very large cross section for deterministic collisions, and here fusion fission, and here expected contributions from quasi fission. And then this is some results of analysis when they summarize all events, they obtain this kind of mass distribution. You can see here increases so strongly, but here we have some overlap. This they compared the results with different systematics by Viola systematics and by Professor Itke's systematics of his group. They found more or less agreement with Viola systematics, and here there is a deviation. And so very asymmetric fission as soon as has overlap with quasi-fission events. So here we are sorters, and we published our results in this group. This is Angular distribution, and as a mass, this MA is ratio of masses, light, projectile, one fragment to total mass. So this is expected fusion fission, and here contribution from quasi fission. And so here results of our calculation that it is seen that blue lines are contribution from fusion fission according to our estimations. These red lines contribution from quasi fission, and therefore we have this kind of increasing tail of yield of fission fragments. I should say that when system is very asymmetric, this overlap will be small. For example, oxygen or more sulfur. By increasing of mass of projectile, contribution of quasi fission increases. And so here, I would like to stress some analysis. This corresponds between observed events and two different parts of reaction mechanism. And so this is deterministic collisions, it is clear, but I should say here there is also events from quasi fission, but usually people don't analyze this part. But this will be useful for the Diolov theory of reaction with high ions. And so quasi fission events here clear exactly, and then here fusion fission events, and then which survived goes to super heavy elements. And so now there is interest and publications a lot to analyze difference between multi-quantum transfer reactions and quasi fission reactions when two nuclei has small difference of neutron numbers. And so this is another example of paper performed by our Indian colleagues. They compared two reactions which gives the same compound nucleus, and they observed evaporation residues for these two reactions here, oxygen plus platinum, this is silicon plus hafnium. You see there is big difference. And so, of course, question, difference comes from compound nucleus or from stage of complete fusion. So our estimations showed that this in reaction oxygen plus platinum, very easy complete fusion takes place. In reaction with silicon, already there is some competition between quasi fission and complete fusion. Therefore, so one of reasons here, effect of quasi fission, which causes hindrance to complete fusion. And so, of course, we cannot explain, because here, important thing is compound nucleus, they have very different angular momentum distribution. The formed compound nucleus, they can have the same excitation energy, but due to difference in energy channel, they have different angular momentum distribution. And surviving or surviving of compound nucleus depends on fission barrier. This fission barrier is sensitive to angular momentum. Therefore, another part of difference comes from different angular momentum distribution of formed compound nucleus. And this is seen from our calculations. And here we see that the fusion probability is a function of angular momentum and excitation energy. It is seen for reaction selene plus barium. So by increasing of energy, of course, complete fusion increases. But increasing energy, you increase amount of partial waves which give contribution to complete fusion. But increasing by angular momentum, fusion decreases because the barrier or hindrance to complete fusion increases. Therefore, we have this kind of dependence. And another picture is dependence of survival probability of compound nucleus as a function of excitation energy and angular momentum. As I stressed that this is also very sensitive, and it is taken into account in our calculations. You can see that by increasing of compound nucleus energy, cross-section decreases because less survived compound nucleus, and as well as by increasing of momentum, also this cross-section goes down. About at 20, this barrier disappeared. Okay. So this well-known results of Fluorov laboratory, and they one of interesting results who devoted to study quasi-fission process. So this dependence here energies of the reaction from here to this left direction energy increases, and this is again matrix. So here mass distribution, and this is depends on mass. I mean, this is total kinetic energy of fragments. You can see that this is yield all events. Again, this white part, it is very high cross section. This is dependent collisions, but here there is a lot of events of quasi fission. And here, this is mass distribution. So from here, that conclusion is that at low energy, there is a very huge contribution from quasi fission, but quasi fission decreases by increasing of beam energy. But it is a little bit contradiction with our conclusion, because by increasing of beam energy, of course, fusion increases, but as well as increase more faster quasi fission. Therefore, we paid attention to this and tried to calculate. And we found that in these calculations that this is time of mass distribution, this is masses of fragments. So we can see that if system stays longer, this is yield of quasi fission according to our calculations. That quasi fission fragments goes to symmetric region, and therefore they here decreases. This is reason. But really, in this reaction, there is quasi fission, but it is transformed or moved to the region of fusion fission fragments. Therefore, I thought that it is difficult to separate these different events to estimate correct fusion cross section. And this is another reason. And here you can see rotational angle of the Dirac system as a function of angular momentum at two energies, low energy and more high energy. And this is partial cross section as a function of rotational angle of the Dirac system. What we can see? At low energy, the system can rotate large angles. So we have, one can say, isotropic distribution. If you increase beam energy, these angles can be populated only about 20 for this energy. This means that quasi-fission fragments will be concentrated in forward angles, and back forward back angles. And it is seen from here that at low energy, we have partial cross-section is maximum near 90 degree or then decreases. At high energy, we have maximum yield of quasi-fission fragments at small angles. And so therefore, maybe in this experiment, they missed this amount of some events from quasi-fission. To see these events, they should put detectors closer to the beam. This was about 20 or 30 degrees. So this should go in forward direction. To prove this, and recently people in Australia made analysis and come to this kind of conclusion. This is to explain the results, they assume that this is masses of fragments. This is rotational angle. So you can see rotational angle goes down when coefficient goes to symmetric region. So this is in agreement with our results. And this is seen from here also. So one can say this is a really actual, interesting problem, and which should be studied in detail with different theoretical methods. And another thing is which was presented to Professor Beck, Brigger Beck, several years ago in Italy, that the problem is that up to now people think that quasi-fission takes place from some value of angular momentum. At smaller value of the angular momentum, we have only compact nucleus formation. So therefore, to describe yield of fission-like fragments, they use this assumption. And then because to extract from angular distribution of fission products, you need some formula. And they use this formula suggested by Berger Bark. And here, this is angular distribution. This is this K0, which is changed to describe measured data. But the important thing is they have this from G equals 0 up to this value. And this value is considered as a complete fusion. And then they estimate fusion probability. But is that told that really here there is already in measured data contribution from quasi-fission at small angular momentum. This is our, and then when I told him, and then he was agree with me that that time they did not pay attention, but so this formula should be modified to take into account contribution here of quasi-fission products. So at last I came to my conclusions. So hindrance information of component nucleus is a very important process which should be analyzed. And the coefficient takes place at all values of orbital momentum. It is very important physical conclusion. And then when there is no events confirming operation residue, the mass distribution of fission-like products should be can be used to estimate fishing cross-section. But fishing line products can be mixed with products from other processes. And then we came again to this problem, which should be analyzed and together in the experiment, in the theory. And I think this will be very useful if we go to obtain new spherical elements. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you. This is the time for questions and remarks. No, no questions.
Avasbek, tell me please, what's the new in theory concerning the formation of compound nucleus in heavy ion collision? It's very important. What new in theory? Experiment we know very well, many experiments during last at least 20 years we studied all reactions which is possible. But what new in theory?
I just presented because I agree with you. You made experiments, you have nice results, but problem is how to analyze your results, how to extract fusion cross-section. And this is question, because if you would like to compare different reactions which gives the same compound, you should find the way to analyze for comparison, because for us, cross-sections and some angular distribution, these kind of things, are as an instrument to build some physics. So our work is devoted. I just showed that because Buck is very well-known scientist. I think you know he published so much papers, and he one of important person who analyzed quasi-fission process. So when we told him that in your formula is incorrect, in conference, after this my statement, I expected from him his question, you are wrong because this is my, but he told, he 3 minutes told good words about me, about our method, you are right, this is wrong. This is new for me. When boss of this some field told me I am right. So this is new from our point of view. And second, though often for even for light system, there is problem to analyze experimental data. For example, two reactions such now they have a difference. You have measured, but you, no comments from you. You can tell only numbers, 10 times more, 2 times more, or you use some factor, some coefficient. You decrease barrier or increase friction coefficient. Therefore, you come to describe your data. But physics is unknown. Thank you.
Okay. Adam?
Did you analyze the influence of the entrance channel? So comparison on very asymmetric entrance channel and very symmetric to the fusion or hindrance of the fusion. Did you make this analysis?
Yes.
And is the conclusions are the same, that it's very similar the process of quasi fusion for both cases?
You mean very asymmetric and symmetric? You mean
this the symmetric reactions leading to the same compound system and
yes,
very asymmetric reaction.
Yes.
Is there a difference from the point of view of
Of course, yes.
Pardon me?
Yes, because this is our business, already we published a lot of papers, and the reason is that for symmetric reaction, the barrier to complete fusion increases very, and therefore, for example, reaction germanium plus lead cannot be used for synthesis of 114.
But there are also another things related to this. For example, the dynamics. the time of getting into the fusion system, which is different in the symmetric asymmetric case.
Yes, time is different, but unfortunately we are now making, just I told it from China, this young scientist has come, we are doing some dynamical, because in our calculations I did not show my formulas, we use statistical approach. After capture, next part we calculate using this competition branching ratio between decay and between fusion, but it, this works enough good. Not only this, even we can estimate yield of different reactions, not completely exactly, but more or less we could, only we should improve our code. So your question is very nice, because we should make dynamical calculations everything, and then we will be to tell more about physics of these processes.
Yeah, the last question, please. Manuel.
Well, Abbas, obviously I know a lot of your work, but I would like to ask you one thing. Before trying to estimate cross-section for fusion-fission, quasi-fission, maybe there are other things that can be compared with the big number of experimental data measured with Corset. And one of these is an example of the importance of shell effect in quasi-fission. So there are many cases where, in principle, you could reproduce the mass distribution at very low energy barrier and show that you can reproduce the shell effects. So you reproduce the distribution in before even trying to estimate the balance between fission and quasi-fission. Because in both cases, in fission and especially in quasi-fission, in a larger range of masses, shell effects are very important. So,
of course.
You able to show, in the future, to do calculation which shows that indeed you are populating the same reaction channels as we see in the experiments?
Yes. We are doing, and so now we are writing some paper with my Indian colleague. A very unexpected behavior of width of fission mass distribution, it was some nonlinear, and then we explained that this is by shell effects, but it is in progress.
Well, okay, because one of the things, an example, if you take a neon-induced reaction and so on, you can see that if you look into the symmetrical part, especially when you have very large asymmetry, you know, like neon on uranium and so on, and you look more in toward the symmetric part, you can find in symmetric you can find fission modes. So it would be very important to see if you are able to find the same result at least in the shape, no matter what is the intensity, but at least the shape.
Shape, you mean shape of mass distribution?
Mass distribution, and this is one side, but the other side is total kinetic energy.
Of course.
Okay, so I think it would be very important that at least you are starting from a potential surface that can reproduce at least this important, very microscopic effect. And then maybe we can talk about dynamics or the other things. But I would be very happy to see, since you calculate potential very well, I think that, for me, it would be already very important.
I did not bring, because we did not yet publish, but we are making this kind of stuff.
Okay. Thank you very much for the presentation and for all presentations on the scientific topics. So, as you see from the program, we have the last point today. Okay, so I see that we need 5 minutes break. And after, please come back for the discussion, which will start in 5-7 minutes. Okay, so short break, and then we have discussion before the dinner.